Did you know that perhaps the greatest explorer in history was a Muslim? You see, in the year 1304, a boy by the name of Ibn Battuta was born in modern-day Morocco. He studied Islamic law and became a judge at an early age. And when he turned 21, he decided to make the pilgrimage to Mecca for Hajj. And normally that journey would take 16 months to go and come back from Morocco. But what he didn't know at the time was he wouldn't return home for another 24 years. As he traveled to Mecca, he stopped along the way in places like Egypt and Syria to meet with and learn from the Islamic scholars in these places. And here, his irresistible desire to travel was born. He eventually made his way down to Mecca for Hajj and went right back to traveling and studying. He went all across the Muslim world. Iraq, Persia, Yemen, Somalia, Turkey, Ukraine, Russia, Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, and then finally India. And this is where things get a little bit crazy. See, around this time, he was becoming famous for his travels, and the kings and the sultans of each land were inviting him to their palaces and giving him gifts to continue his journey with. The Sultan of India was so impressed with him, he even made Ibn Battuta the grand judge for his court. But there was one problem. The Sultan was known for being somewhat cruel, and he was an extremely paranoid man. He had already executed many of his high-ranking officers, suspicious that they were plotting against him, and Ibn Battuta eventually fell under suspicion and was at risk of being executed himself. He spoke with the Sultan and managed to convince him to send him as an envoy to China to prove his loyalty to him and to get as far away as possible. So he took the gifts that were meant for the Chinese emperor and set sail for China. But then the ship got shipwrecked. He managed to survive, but the gifts didn't. Fearing the Indian Sultan, Ibn Battuta went into hiding in the Maldives. He stayed there for a few years, working as a judge again, and even got married to someone within the royal family. At one point, he even tried to become the Sultan of the Maldives himself, but he was in competition with others, and eventually he had to leave the Maldives once again, fearing for his life. He then got in another shipwreck in southern India and went back to the Maldives to support his brother-in-law in a civil war there that was happening. And then he decided, okay, enough is enough. Back to traveling. So he went to China, visited all the Muslim communities there, and then set sail back again to Mecca, did Hajj again, then traveled back to Morocco to see his family again for the first time in 24 years. And after that, he traveled once more into Muslim Spain and then down into West Africa before finally going back to Morocco and settling down before he passed away. Now, today, there are people that have flown all around the world and visited every country and gone to every place you can think of. But that's the key difference. They flew. Can you imagine traveling the world in a time before airplanes and cars and bicycles? A time before credit cards and international banks where you had to bring all your money with you. And if you got robbed, that's it. You're now broke. And there was no Google Translate or Google Maps or smartphones to help you navigate your way around. That's what makes Ibn Battuta's travels so unique. He traveled the world without any of this. And as always, like a fall for more, Muslim facts.